look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost.
Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, December 21st, 2017, and the Green Bay Packers have been eliminated from playoff contention. It's a situation that pretty much nobody expected, and now the Packers have basically 2 weeks in which their offseason has sort of already begun. So to discuss all of that is Tom Silverstein. He's here with me as always. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Packers Podcast, and I'm pretty sure that before the season we didn't think we'd be in this position, did we?
No, can't say they did, not considering I picked them to go 12-4 and really thought they had a chance to do something in the NFC. But things happen, and the worst thing that could happen to them did, which is that Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And then we found out that their roster isn't as good as we thought, and they could not, you know, they couldn't hold enough water till he got back. You know, they needed to win one of those games they weren't supposed to. They needed to win that Pittsburgh game, and they didn't, and now they're going home.
So the decision was made earlier this week to basically end Rodgers' season and put him on injured reserve after 1 week. So he was playing through the first few games, then he was placed on IR when he had surgery. They took him off IR to play against the Panthers. Then they put him back on IR to end the season with 2 games left that don't mean anything. What did you think of the decision?
It was the right decision. Put him on the shelf. Not going to do you any good to play him for two weeks, you know. Ticks him off, too bad. I mean, you got to protect your franchise, and there's just no reason to do it. You might as well get Hundley a little bit more work in case this happens again. And, you know, sure, he was okay to play, and he made it through it. Took some pretty nice hits and was able to dust himself off, but it just, the payoff just isn't great enough. Save it for next year.
So the counterpoint to that, and I'm not saying I disagree, I just was talking to, you know, different people over the time that I've been here, and the thing that, or the phrase that people say is, healthy players play. Mm-hmm. And so that was the one reason why I think Rodgers wanted to be out there. And so I didn't know if, you know, sitting him or saying, well, you know, obviously he's a franchise quarterback, but just putting him on a different level than anybody else. If I'm Jordy Nelson, am I going to say, well, why aren't they saving me for next season, you know?
Yeah, see, I don't buy that because you always talk to guys, you get around playoff time, and you'll say, well, if this were the playoffs, would you play? Oh, yeah, if it were the playoffs, I'd play, you know, but I'm going to do what's best and try to get better. That's everything is risk-reward in the NFL, and you're not sending any message to anybody. I'm sure none of the guys in the locker room want Rodgers to break his collarbone again, and I don't think it's such a bad precedent. I think most of them just want to go home now after the season being all but over, you know, and so I can't imagine that it's having a ripple effect. I could be wrong, but I would be really surprised if it does.
And so with Rodgers unavailable for these next 2 games, they have turned the reins over to Brett Hundley once again. He was 3-4 as the starter when Rodgers was on IR the first time, and now he gets 2 more chances against 2 teams that he's already played. Now, he came in relief against the Vikings, so he wasn't prepared necessarily like a starter to play that week. But he'll have the Lions and the Vikings, 2 teams he's seen before. What do you think about Hundley's last chance here before maybe an important offseason for him?
Well, I think actually sitting a game is going to help him. I think it gets him gives him a chance to just sit back and watch Rodgers do what he does. He's gotten to do that, but now he's had a perspective of actually starting. Now all the pressure is off him to win every single week. And I'm kind of interested to see how he reacts without the pressure. He's been real good down the, you know, in the final minutes of games, reacted very well to pressure. But I think he's always been trying to not make mistakes, play conservatively. And, I think this will be a good experience for him. I think more than anything, though, they need to just run the heck out of the ball. Just show that that's something that they're going to have next week. I would bring Devontae Mays up, make sure he's up. I would go with Jones, Williams, and Mays and have Hundley throw, 12 times. I really would. And if the Vikings stop you, they stop you. But that's the kind of game they need to try to win that way.
You mentioned being interested to see how Hundley would react to having no pressure on his shoulders, and I wonder if he'll use his legs a little bit more. That was what he did in college. He sort of scampered around, made plays, was able to get outside the pocket, and he did that at times during the 7 games when he filled in, but I think there were other opportunities where maybe he could have run or wanted to run or, went out of bounds instead of still going down the field. So I wonder if he'll be a little bit more bold in that regard. Do you think that McCarthy would be able to stick to a running game, even if it doesn't mean anything?
If you go back and look at cold weather games, they typically have been willing to run it. But as I wrote in my column this week, shameless plug, that a lot of the running doesn't come down to McCarthy. It comes down to Rodgers, who has the ability to change from run to pass, pass to run, whatever. And I think with Hundley at quarterback, you see that difference. You see that they run the ball a higher percentage of times because he doesn't have those options to check off. And I don't have a problem with the system, but you have to accept that Rodgers is, if you're going to put that system in, then you have to accept that Rodgers is more often than not going to check to a pass because that's what he does.
Now, do you think in a game like this that doesn't mean anything, they open it up for Hundley, give him more options at the line of scrimmage to learn and see what it's like and find if an audible works, if it doesn't work, just to see what he can do with an expanded menu?
Maybe they did that a little bit more in Cleveland. I know they gave him more leeway in Cleveland to check to different stuff. I think they probably want to be balanced. I think they want to do both. I think they want to beat, I know McCarthy wants to beat the Vikings, and I'm sure the team does, but this is a tough defense to score against, and so you're not going to be able to do one thing or the other. But I do know if you can, in the cold, if you can get some form of running game going at home, you can control the game. And that's what they got to do. Now, maybe that means Hundley's going to have to run it on some read option stuff. Maybe they're going to throw a bunch of that out at Minnesota. Maybe they're going to let him just zing it around the field. I really don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the plan is, but I do think they got to make those three running backs relevant.
Yeah, and aside from Hundley, these next two games are really important for some of the young players. McCarthy was asked, will they get more playing time? And he basically shut it down. But then on a different question, he mentioned that younger players will get more playing time in these next two games. So I wonder if it's a chance for them to throw Trevor Davis in at wide receiver to see if Michael Clark knows what he's doing in a game that means something. Maybe mix up the offensive line even if it's late in the game and it's already decided one way or the other. So who are some players that you think, if they got more playing time, this would be a pretty important two games for them?
I guess at some point you got to look at those two undrafted corners if you think they're any good. If you think they're just going to be special teams players, then don't bother. But if you think Lindsey Pipkins, you've kept him on the roster the whole year, and Donatello Brown for half the year, if you think they can do anything, you got to play them. You got to try, see what they can do. I would think about, with Jari Evans being injured, I'd think about starting Justin McCray at right guard. I mean, even though he's proved himself, that could be his position next year, and I would want to see him do that. I would say I agree with you on Trevor Davis. I think they got to look at him. Allison's got to play some more. Beyond that,
Beagle?
Yeah, Beagle, right, especially if Matthews and Perry don't play. You got to have Beagle and Fackrell play. I don't think you have to play Brooks as much.
What about Montrevious Adams, a guy that we really didn't see all season long, but somebody who had rave reviews in training camp? Right. Is this an opportunity maybe to try and season him up a little bit after a season where he didn't really get any experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point. I think it could be very beneficial for him to play. I mean, these guys aren't going to do great. I'd be shocked, because Montrevious Adams, if he was showing something, he'd be showing it in practice, and they would be giving him snaps. So something's, you know, disconnected there that they're not trusting him. But at least, you know, keep him up and give him some snaps. You know, you still want to play Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels, but get Adams a few snaps in there. And I don't know. Other than that, I might try Josh Jones in the nitro and or nickel or something, you know, just to get him a little bit more involved. Other than that, yeah, I don't know.
The one area that could be, well, they're going to try and win the game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered if it's a chance for the coaches, too, to try out new things and different things and see if it has any, you know, I don't know if there's like a new alignment formation-wise with receivers, if there's new plays, if there's new concepts defensively. If you throw it out there in these two games to test it out and see what has some sort of effectiveness for next season, is there anything to that, do you think?
That's kind of hard to do this late in the season to change concepts. I mean, the only thing you can really change is how you call plays, when you blitz, how you blitz, pull out some blitzes that you haven't been using. But, you know, there's only so many coverages, and you can't all of a sudden become a 4-3 team after you've been, you know, 3-4 the whole year, or you can't become a Eagle front or a Bears front or whatever, you know. So, plus, let's face it, you know, I think the die is cast for this defensive staff. You know, they're probably gone, but, you know, I would guess that McCarthy has already made his decision one way. They're either staying or going, and nothing they do in these last two games is going to change that. That's my guess.
That's something I hadn't really thought of, McCarthy making the decision in advance, but I think you're right about that, because the last time he changed assistants in my time here, my 2.5 years, was when he fired Sam Gash, the running backs coach, and Jerry Fontenot, the tight ends coach, and I believe that was the day after the season ended. And McCarthy's not, the day after a game, McCarthy's not sitting down and making this decision, you know, in that amount of time. It was preempted.
Yeah. And with Dom Capers, he's not going to sit there and say, you know, okay, in a week I'm going to decide, I'm going to evaluate everything. Jesus, he knows everything about Dom Capers that needs to be known. He knows now whether Capers has been able to, whether the problem is the talent or whether it's Capers. And so, if we don't hear anything in the first day or two, I'm not so sure that we'll hear anything, because it just, to me, it would be cut and dry. Now, part of it could be, who can he get, and is he waiting for other people to get fired? Because it's very possible he could wait, keep Capers, and then say, oh, Vic Fangio's available. See ya, you know, I'm going to let you guys go and go with Fangio. So that would be the one way I wouldn't expect it to go down on the first day.
Is there any scenario in which Capers leaves but some of the assistants stick around? McCarthy decides to keep them?
That happens. You know, that happened with Bob Sanders when Capers came. Some of those guys hung around. Absolutely. But, you know, typically you give the defensive coordinator, his say in hiring who he wants. But if McCarthy vouches for a guy and says, I want him on, you know, I really want him on the staff, or you need to interview him, more than likely you keep him.
Any changes to the offensive side of the ball, coaching-wise? I kind of think that, for better or worse, everyone is getting a free pass this year because Rodgers was hurt. And mm-hmm. so I can't – personally, I would find it hard for McCarthy to make a change. I know that, you know, some people have mentioned on Twitter or – asked me if Edgar Bennett is a guy that, you know, what is he doing? What is he here for? Do we need a different offensive coordinator, somebody that can not challenge McCarthy, but make him more competitive even, and just sort of, you know, push him to try new things or mm-hmm. absorb new things. What do you think about the offensive staff?
Well, I'll tell you, two guys that should receive like 10-year extensions are James Campen and Ben Sermons.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, those two units have, you know, Campen to do what he did with the line through the injuries that they suffered. I mean, seven different starting offensive lines. What he did with McCray and Lucas and is nothing short of phenomenal. Sermons with three rookie running backs and
Ty Montgomery gets hurt.
Yeah, and they plan all training camp for Ty Montgomery, and then he's not there. He did a terrific job. After that, you know, nobody should be safe. Not after a year like this. I don't mean this in a flippant way in that I don't know what Edgar Bennett does. I do know, but we don't know everything that he does.
Correct.
And I think part of probably the most important thing he does is manage the offensive staff and set up practice and make sure that they're covering their every possible all the details. Make sure that details are covered. And I remember Joe Philbin once telling me that, you know, Edgar was the kind of guy who was so detailed that he kept one week, he kept going to Philbin and saying, "Do you think we should prepare for this front? You know, they haven't played it in a while," and Philbin was like, "Nah, don't worry about it. They're not going to run it." And he goes, "Sure enough, they ran it." You know, so I think that says a lot about Edgar Bennett. And I think what you really need are position coaches who can contribute to the overall. It's a team thing. You know, Edgar Bennett isn't just coming up with the plays. Everybody has a role in coming up with plays. So it's hard to say, you know, McCarthy, of course, is the best judge of that.
And last but not least would be special teams coordinator Ron Zook. He's done a really good job, I think, with Justin Vogel, a rookie punter, and getting him to play well, especially in an environment that Vogel wasn't used to, spending his whole life in Florida. But, man, there are some issues on special teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's penalties left and right. There's guys out of position. They have all these returns called back. I just wonder if that's another area where there could be a change.
Could be. I mean, late in the year, I think they were better than they were early. It seemed like they started to get off the penalty thing. They took some guys off who were committing a lot of those penalties.
Very true.
And so to me, that's the hardest, probably the hardest call. I think it really, their special teams was not terrible. It was, I'm interested to see what their rankings were. You know, what Goslin's, where he ranks them. But I don't think it was a huge detriment. Early on, it kind of was, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, moving on, like the field position game, I thought they were really good with Vogel and the two gunners and their punt team, and they had to deal with long snappers who kept getting hurt and holders and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So that's a hard one. That's a really hard one.
Anything else on the staff before we take a look at the Vikings here as they get ready to go into the playoffs?
No, I, you know.
Any guys you think might leave for other jobs?
Probably not after they've had such a bad year. Hard to make an argument. You know, usually these guys come from programs that have been in the Super Bowl or go deep into the playoffs. You know, some there might be some interviews, but I can't see anybody being a head coach interview.
Agreed.
And after that, then, you know, they can't really leave for lateral jobs unless McCarthy gives them permission.
It would just be a coordinator job that they could go for.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. Someone could offer one of the assistants a coordinator job, but I don't know who that would be.
No, I agree. There's not one person that jumps out in the front, I don't think. Okay, so let's move on to the Vikings. They are coming into this game playing terrific football. Their defense is one of the best in the league, if not the best, and their offense under Case Keenum continues to find ways to move the ball and have pretty good balance between run and pass. So this is a team that is fighting for keeping a playoff bye in the first round, and so it's important to them to try and win this game. What have you thought of the Vikings from what you've seen from afar, maybe since the last time the Packers played them?
I think they're the best team in the NFC right now. I think, you know, the loss in Carolina was kind of eye-opening. But, you know, they had won, what, 9 in a row going into that game. And, you know, they were due for a loss. If they got Carolina at home, I think it might be a different deal. I think it's, you know, if Philadelphia, if Wentz was healthy, I think that's one team that could have really challenged them, offense versus defense. I'm not sure that Carolina can do that on a regular basis, and the Rams couldn't do it. So I think they're the favorite in the NFC.
You know, Case Keenum is not a franchise quarterback by any means, but I've been pretty impressed with sort of the way he's handled everything, not only from, you know, what he's done during games, but, I mean, I've been reading some articles over the course of the season where Zimmer wouldn't even say who would start because Bridgewater was healthy again. And so to not know if he's going to start or if they're going to make a switch when you're playing well, for a guy that had been a career backup and a very mediocre one at that, I think it's been a really, really good season for him, and I could see some other team paying him money that may or may not work out.
Maybe, yeah, it's possible. I think, so if the Vikings get in a situation in the playoffs where it's a close game and it's two quarterbacks who are going to decide the game, you know, I'm going to take Cam Newton. I'm going to take Matt Ryan. I'm going to take
Drew Brees.
I'm going to take Russell Wilson if that's the case. Goff, maybe. Nick Foles, no. I just think that ultimately to get to the Super Bowl, you got to have a Super Bowl quarterback, and I'm not convinced that Keenum is, even though their defense is really good. I just think that if they get into a close game and it's one team needs to score and the other team needs to score, whatever, the team with the better quarterback is going to win.
So you don't think it could be a situation with like with Denver a few years ago where Manning was really bad throughout the season but the defense got him to the Super Bowl?
Well, that's a good point. It could be. It could be. But I just I don't know if the Vikings defense is as good as that Denver defense. It's good. It's really good. I don't know if the pass rush is as good. And the corners, well, our corners are pretty good too. So that's a really good point. It could that could happen. Yeah, that could happen. But I still like a team with a franchise quarterback.
So Mike Zimmer now has the opportunity to prepare for a quarterback that he only saw on the fly last time around. Based on, you know, what he saw of Hundley over the last 6 or 7 weeks, everyone pretty much knows Zimmer's style with the double A-gap linebackers and some of the things he does. But, you know, you've talked about going into certain games, whether you think guys will blitz the Packers or not blitz the Packers. And how do you sort of think this one might go?
I think they'll play to stop the run, and they'll dare Hundley to beat them. I think they'll keep Harrison Smith or Sendejo up in the box. They'll probably mug their linebackers just like, you know, they often do, make Hundley try to check out of running plays and just say, go ahead, beat us. Try to beat Xavier Rhodes with, you know, Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb or Trevor Davis or whoever the heck it's going to be. especially if they don't have Devontae Adams, you know, then they're really they're in trouble. The only way they can win in that scenario is just they're going to have to beat eight-man fronts. They're going to have to be better up front than the Vikings are.
You know, I kind of think that the Packers can run on them a little bit. You know, you've talked about this, and we've talked about it on this podcast a number of times, about how this particular line is pretty darn good at run blocking. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if Jari Evans is out and McCray is in, that's another road grader, a guy that's better against the run than the pass, and he would be at his more natural position of guard. The one area that would concern me in that situation if I'm the Packers is both of their tight ends are really bad blockers,
yeah,
and so if they blitz off the edge, it could be a problem. But up the middle, if they're able to, you know, if they're able to hold off on the outside long enough, I think they can run up the middle on these guys.
Yeah, dare I say it, if they had Martellus Bennett, I think
Who?
They'd have a really good chance at being able to run it. I think, you know, because then they have a tight end who can crash down, you know, then they have guys who can crash down on both sides, and they can run some of that power stuff. But you got to remember, Linval Joseph is just a beast inside, and you can't run inside on them all the time. You're going to have to get outside, and you're going to have to outrun Anthony Barr and Kendricks. So and then hope that Harrison Smith isn't standing there, you know, at the line of scrimmage waiting for you. I like the possibility of Aaron Jones being able to, and Williams sort of being able to offer two different styles. It would be kind of, I actually would love to see a game where the Packers ran the ball 35 times just to see what happens, you know, turn it into, you know, for some reason maybe their defense miraculously played well and it was like one of these slug them out games in the trenches in a run-type game.
Well, even in games that we've seen over the years that end up totally imbalanced between run and pass, a lot of times on the first possession, they always come out in big formations because McCarthy wants to run the ball. And so you'll see, like, they did it in Carolina. They came out with two mm-hmm. tight ends on the field, you know, for Rodgers' first couple snaps. So, I kind of agree. I think it should be a game where they run the ball a lot. But I still wonder if they want to evaluate Hundley as much as possible and if he's just handing off over and over and over again.
Well, I think their evaluation is done, don't you? I mean, seven games, they know what they have there. I mean, he's not going to – he might light it up a little bit. I would think there's a better chance of him, if he is going to light it up, doing it in Detroit in climate control. I don't think he's a good cold-weather quarterback or a great cold-weather quarterback. I think they know what they have in him, and so I don't know that there's all that much to prove. I think what you really want to prove is, can you run the ball when someone's trying to stop you running the ball?
And one area that could be, I guess, a possibility to rest some guys would be the wide receiver position. Now, mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if Devontae Adams played.
He's going to push to play, and he's probably going to pass the protocol. But my goodness, just, you know, take care of yourself.
And I almost think they might bench Nelson too, just hold him out or put him out there for a few snaps to start the game, and then change it up after that. Go with, you know, Trevor Davis, Cobb.
Yeah.
Michael Clark, Jeff Janis,
why not?
Mix it up and go that way. Let's look at the other side of the ball. Let's look at the Packers' defense against the Vikings' offense. And I think the best place to start is with their two really, really good wide receivers. And so the last time the Packers saw Adam Thielen in Green Bay, he caught 12 passes for 202 yards and two touchdowns in December last year. And the first time they saw Stephon Diggs last season, he caught 9 balls for 182 and a touchdown.
So which one does Demarius Randall want to cover?
Does
he want the revenge against Diggs, or does he want to shut down the Pro Bowler Thielen?
That's tough to say. It depends, because they're different types of players. Like, Thielen's going to beat you with smarts and routes and all of his tricks of the trade and chemistry with Keenum.
But which does Randall want? Randall wants the one that will bring him the most fame and adulation and accolades? Which one is it?
I guess it's Diggs.
Is it?
I don't know. I mean, Diggs has been hurt, but man, he got torched in that game last year. Diggs was all over the middle of the field. And so, again, you know, I don't know what they're going to do at cornerback because Devon House actually practiced, a week and a half after suffering that broken transverse process in his back. That's another guy that I kind of would be surprised if they played him, but I think he really wants to play. What would you do at corner?
If House could play, I'd play him just because they don't have enough corners anyway. So it gives you at least a chance to compete against Minnesota if you've got both your corners. Randall's playing at a really high level. I would stick him on Thielen. I would say you're not gonna get the ball to Thielen like you have been. And if you do, it's gonna be a struggle with Randall all over him. It would help to have House there as well. You know, the way the safeties played last week was so bad. I'm almost like, why don't you just start five corners back there?
Play Marwin Evans.
Yeah.
Give him a chance to get out there.
Play some corners. Play Lindsey Pipkins in the slot. Just do it. I mean, what do you got to lose?
He played in Minnesota last time.
Yeah,
that was the game he got on the field
That's right.
A few snaps.
Oh, well, he doesn't know. You know, he might blow some coverages. Well, who isn't blowing coverages back there? I mean, at least he's athletic and blowing coverages, you know?
And how about Donatello Brown?
Yeah.
Throw him out there,
you know? I mean, Dimitri Goodson, what the heck? You know, let him play safety or something. I don't know. Just try something.
Do you think this Vikings offense can move the ball on the Packers as – I don't want to say as well because they didn't do it last week, but I think almost anybody could at this point.
I think they have a snowball's chance in Antarctica of moving the ball. they absolutely will move the ball, and Jerick McKinnon is going to be a bad matchup for them. They can – Kyle Rudolph, they've never been able to cover
That's
him.
Right.
You know, it could be a disaster, but that's why I'm like just – and just play some athletic young guys and let's see what happens.
So the game plan is to pound the ball offensively over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And on defense, throw every reserve you have out there and just see how it goes.
And blitz 10. You know, just leave one guy deep in the backfield and let him – put Josh Hawkins back there and he'll get the hot read as you blitz 10 guys every single time. I don't know. You know, just be aggressive. Don't go down like a bunch of wimps. You know, if you're going to go down swinging at least, you know?
No, I agree with you. I'm just picturing Dom Capers dialing up all these blitzes in what he knows is probably his last game or two, and so he's just emptying his playbook of 40 years.
Yeah.
With everything.
Fire me, we're going to lose by 55.
Man, that would be funny. Oh, so who are you picking this week?
Oh, I'm definitely picking the Vikings. I actually thought about taking the Packers.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It is crazy. But I've seen them go up to Minneapolis with an inferior team and then run the ball and just dominate the game. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Even if they did, their defense is too Swiss cheese-like
it is.
For anybody to hold them. Or for them to hold anybody offensively. So I'm taking the Vikings as well, but I sort of think it's going to be a blowout. I honestly wouldn't be shocked if it was 35-13 or something like that because I think the Vikings are going to have no problem moving the ball offensively.
Yeah, well, I don't care what the score is. Just stop playing zone. Play man-to-man so we can at least stop seeing broken coverages all the time. I don't know. Do something.
So we'll have to see how all of that goes on Saturday night. Be sure to check out PackersNews.com and JSOnline.com for all of the coverage leading up to Saturday's game. Let's wish everybody happy holidays.
Yes, absolutely. We're not doing one.
We'll do one after the game. You know, just people are going to start this weekend, I'm sure, getting ready for the holidays.
Be safe and, you know, follow all our coverage. The live blog will be going.
And subscriptions make
Saturday
really good Christmas
night.
Gifts.
They do. I've given them to all my friends.
So buy subscriptions.
You know, if you come to the live blog on Saturday, you'll get a free pass to the last game against Detroit. So
there you go. Free tickets to Detroit if you join the live blog.
To the blog. No, free tickets to the blog.
I don't know.
Not tickets to the game.
I think you're going to buy tickets
I'm
to the game for everybody.
I'm not buying tickets to anybody, no.
All right. Well, we've clearly exhausted our welcome on this episode of the podcast. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.